Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of the Nutcracker Syndrome podcast. So, in the last episode, I talked about who do you see if you think you have Nutcracker. I was hoping that would maybe, for some of you that are new to this, you're like, what, you're overwhelmed. For some of you, maybe you're on the journey, but you came to a standstill, and hopefully that episode kind of jogged, gave you some ideas on where to go next. In this episode, I want to talk about questions to ask potential doctors. So kind of the vetting process with doctors. With that being said, before I jump straight into these questions that you can ask if you want, again, everything that I'm doing in this podcast is simply inviting you to do something. It's not telling you you have to do it. I'm hopefully just kind of here to support you along the way. So before we jump into potential questions you can ask a doctor, I do want to say this. I feel like it would be very ill of me to not speak about insurance. Because some of you might just be thinking off the bat, well, these questions are all nice and dandy to ask, but I don't have a lot of options to vet doctors. I don't have the privilege to go shop around for doctors. And that is a completely valid thing to think about. And I want to address that first, to say, yes, you are absolutely right. Our American medical system really pigeonholes a lot of us in ways that doesn't even allow us the autonomy to be able to shop around for doctors, let alone do we have the energy to even do that. While I definitely was, you know, shopping around for doctors, I remember it's a arduous process. Calling, making sure you get the scans sent over, calling to make sure the scans were received. It's a lot. For example, I just want to go a little bit into this insurance talk to let you all know that I very much understand and am trying to empathize with you all as I create this podcast. I have a particular insurance plan through my employer. So as I mentioned in the introduction of this show, I am a professor. So I work for a university and I have an insurance through my work. This insurance plan has a particular in-network and out-of-network doctors, which if you have insurance, very similar. There's nothing different there. And when I first started with working with my university, I had a particular insurance plan that was specific to Colorado because at the time I was living just in Colorado and I wasn't really traveling that much. A little bit more about my story. I actually don't know if I've shared this on this particular podcast. 3 years into living in Colorado, I was on this particular insurance plan. I decided I wanted to move into a van full time. So I was teaching remotely. I moved into a van in 2022, actually, gosh, probably a year at the end of 2021, beginning of 2022. And because I knew I was going to be traveling nationally more and at times internationally, I changed my insurance plan to a different plan that actually was less just Colorado based and more of a national plan. It did cost me a little bit more money to do this, but it widened my network to include medical care at that national level. And what's wild about this story is looking back, again, I just said that I moved into a van beginning of 2022 and my symptoms started November of 2022. So if I wouldn't have followed my dreams of living in a van full time, I would never have changed my insurance plan, and I would have been screwed. Because while there is actually some really good care here in Colorado, and Dr. Pashak at UC Health has reopened his Nutcracker program, as is the recording of this podcast in March 2025. Don't know if things have shifted, so don't quote me on that. With UC Health's renal auto transplant program, I would have been very pigeonholed into just choosing those doctors. So me moving into the van, and at the time I was just like, well, it's probably just, you know, good. I need to change my insurance plan over, of which I did. And looking back, that actually saved my life doing that. So for those of you who have access to insurance, and you have the option, so there's those open enrollment dates. Usually it's like November, December of the year. But check in with your specific insurance. If you have the option at open enrollment to switch to a specific plan, And again, barring that you can financially afford this, like I want to be very, I'm very aware that there's some intersectionality going on here between what you can financially afford, your socioeconomic status, things of that nature. If you can switch your insurance plan, look to see which insurance plan would actually widen your level of care for a syndrome like this so that you can have a potential option to shop around for doctors. Now, I understand some of you all listening to this are like, I don't have the financial mobility to be able to do that. I'm really pigeonholed into one insurance plan. That doesn't mean that some of these questions I'm going to talk about in this episode, you shouldn't ask. So this episode to me, I hope is all consuming. But some of what I do talk about is, like I use the term vetting doctors, and kind of the subtext after that, that I can hear some of you all saying is like, well, that's nice to know that you have the privilege to vet doctors. I hear you. And that is, I just want to speak into the more kind of fucked up nature again of this medical, of our American medical system, is that a lot of people don't even have the option to do that. You just have to go with what you're offered. I wish I knew the answers to that. And if some of you do have answers or suggestions, like I've shared in the show description, you can reach out to me on my social media. I would love to know how to advance that conversation to provide more access to people, to have more autonomy, to be able to shop around. So just know that those are some things to think about as far as insurance goes, to widen, if you can switch to a different insurance plan, to widen your options so that you can shop around a little bit. Another thing I do want to talk about that has been brought up, I've not used this before with insurance, but I do know, I've had a couple of people tell me that with their insurance policy, so if they're diagnosed with a particular syndrome, such as Nutcracker, and there's nobody that can address Nutcracker syndrome within a particular radius of you, that you can submit some paperwork to your insurance to say, I've been diagnosed with this, this is the intervention I need, and there is nobody within a particular mile radius to do this. So maybe a doctor is out of network. They could be considered in. There's some things that they can work on getting somebody in network for you. So call your insurance. Just know that's something you can call about and ask, and you know, call them very kindly. You know, say, I just want to see what my options are. I was just diagnosed with this very rare syndrome. I need treatment. However, it's not seeming like there is anybody within a vicinity that can help me, and any doctor is out of network. So is there something we can do to help with this? What are my options? I also just want to say too, I also understand how annoying it is to call insurance and speak to these people. And sometimes right off the bat, you can kind of tell that they don't like their jobs. And because they don't like their jobs, they might not help you out as well. And before I say what I'm about to say, please understand that I have very much had stern conversations with some people with insurance, letting them know how they were disrespecting me and not showing up for me in the way they needed to. So I don't want to paint a picture like I'm walking in and being kind to everybody. But just understand, a lot of them, like, they're just the middle person. So I found a lot of success over my, gosh, years and years of being in the medical system, of calling and being like, hey, how are you doing? And I might even say something along the lines of, you know, as they start helping me and I notice that, you know, I don't come in hot necessarily, I might say, you know, thank you so much for helping me out. I'm sure your job's not easy. You have people that are in pain calling you, probably yelling at you because they don't have anybody else they know to yell at. So just when you do call, it's very frustrating for everybody involved. Likely the person answering the phone has been yelled at many of times already. So try as best you can to just approach it with kindness. Now, if they do pass a line with you, and I've had it happen before, I very sternly let them know that this is not okay. I make sure to rate my particular insurance plan, sends me an email letting me rate my thing, and I definitely do that. So, but I also make sure to do that when I have a good interaction as well. So I'm not just reporting the negative experiences. I very much am highlighting, you know, this was a 10 out of 10 experience. While we didn't get to an answer today, I very much felt supported, listened to, understood, empathized with. So those are some examples. I wanted to touch on insurance first before, that was a little bit of a side quest to the main theme of this conversation, but I want, hopefully, you all as an audience to understand that I'm not without understanding the nuances that go into some of these episodes. So a little bit of a side quest there with this conversation, but it's important to know that. Now, transitioning into the questions to ask doctors. I actually created an Excel spreadsheet that I uploaded out as a file onto the Nutcracker Syndrome Facebook group. If you go onto the Facebook group and in the kind of top navigating, you can see where files. If you click on files, there it was posted on November 14th, 2024. And so you'll see those there. And so you can go through that. I'm not going to read those to you. So you can go and actively find that file. So I'll get into those specifics a little bit later, but just know that that's out there kind of dancing around in the ether. I uploaded it literally the day after I had my in-person consult with UW Health. So I tried to be as extensive as possible. I also offered it on the Facebook group to get feedback, like, were there other questions I should add? So the file itself was created by me, but it was a culmination effort with a bunch of other Nutcracker individuals as well. Before jumping into the nitty-gritty of questions to ask in your in-person renal auto transplant consult, which could also be other questions that you could ask in the left renal vein transposition, the left renal vein stent, some are specific to auto transplant, but I think some of the questions on there are good for, they're just general, good general questions to ask. But I have to say, when I started my Nutcracker journey and my first two surgeries I had, so my whole Nutcracker journey started out as presenting as gynecology issues. So, of course, what did I do? I went to a gynecologist. My first two surgeries were botched surgeries from a OBGYN that honestly had no, she should have referred me to a specialist, just to say that. She had no right really going in and doing this surgery on me for endometriosis and other complications. When I found Dr. Muldoon, I did some research. I found her online with some good reviews. I changed up my game on how I go in and talk to doctors. So at this point, I was just fed up going in and having what's we talk about as the white coat syndrome, which can be twofold. White coat syndrome, you go in and just because this doctor's wearing a white coat, there's anxiety associated with that. But also white coat syndrome entails going in and somebody's just wearing a white coat, i.e. they're a doctor. So you just believe what they tell you. So you take away the agency that you have to ask questions and to interview them to see if they're a good fit for you. So we go in, and I'm very, very guilty of this. And something that I learned when I did my own self-reflection and thought, how might I be showing up to potentially contributing to continuing to get into these relationships? And I realized, oh, I'm just believing these doctors. So I went and did my own research and realized, there's other things that matter. The two largest questions that I started asking that very much has led me to have the team of five doctors and surgeons I have that are quality individuals, quality doctors that have makes me feel seen and heard. When I went and saw Dr. Muldoon, I asked two questions. I said, I first started out saying, what is your advocacy like for your patients? As an example, if insurance were to deny a surgery that I need, how would you advocate for me in that regard? And I remember her first initial response was, oh, I would do a peer-to-peer immediately. And then she went into how she was annoyed with, like, I could just tell she was a team player immediately. I've had doctors where I ask that question and they might look a little stumped. I've had doctors that feel like I'm challenging them. That's not the doctor for me, personally. Now, I want to re-reference the whole conversation I had in the beginning about insurance. Maybe you go in and you ask that question and you get an egotistical doctor that's annoyed that you're even asking them questions, but you don't have options. So I'm inviting you into a space. You are more than welcome to ask these questions. You also don't have to, okay? So if you feel more comfortable not asking them, that's okay. So again, what is your advocacy efforts like for your client if things go south as it regards to insurance, as it regards to things going wrong in surgery, whatever you want to ask? It can be specific to your lived medical experience. I also went in realizing that from the jump, I would walk in and say, before we get started, I just want you to know I have high medical anxiety. because of X, Y, and Z. You don't even have to tell them because of X, Y, and Z. But I just realized that I wasn't stating that to them. And it was causing me more harm not explicitly letting them know. I did realize when I let these doctors know, the ones that I chose to go with, when I said I had medical anxiety, they met it with empathy, they met it with care, they thanked me for being vulnerable and sharing it with them. So I just continued to be like, okay, this person's making me feel comfortable. So again, it's not just about advocating, asking them about their advocacy for patients, but realizing that you're going and advocating for yourself, which means you, what are the things that you need from this doctor that you can communicate upfront with them? And then how they respond to you providing that information is very telling. The second biggest thing that I then would ask is, what is your interdisciplinary approach like? For example, if we get to the end of the rope with this particular system, gynecology, GI, whatever, what is your, and this extends advocacy, what is your advocacy efforts on getting me connected to a particular system, so another doctor? What is your interdisciplinary approach like? Meaning, are you talking to other doctors in different fields to help you understand, like, potentially where to refer me to, helping me understand what next steps are so I don't just get to the end of the rope and then it feels like you're just dropping me like a sack of potatoes in a garbage can? Because that doesn't feel good. Those two questions, when I have asked those of a doctor, have been very, very telling. Because if they just tell me like, well, I'm just a GI doctor, so if it's not GI related, I can't really help you there. Okay. Personally, and this is again, going back to my introduction of, you know, don't crucify me here, as this is just my lived experience, but that really pisses me off that somebody stays in their comfort zone as a doctor, right? Like, well, I'm just a GI doctor. I'm just a gynecology doctor. So if we can't get to the end of it here, then I don't really know what to tell you. They're a part of the problem in the medical system. So I definitely don't want to go to that surgeon. I definitely don't want to go and speak to that person and have them open me up in a vulnerable way. The most vulnerable thing I think that we undergo is a surgery. They put us to sleep and we are just fully trusting them with our bodies. We're giving our autonomy to them in that moment. Yeah, I don't want to be working with a doctor personally. Now, again, I am privileged in that I can vet doctors because of my insurance plan and I have more options. So that's not without, like, I can hear some of you speaking, you know, I hear you in my ear. But I also want to really empower you all to have a voice, to advocate for yourself where you can, to show up and say, hey, I have high medical anxiety. I have a brother who went through 10 years of medical crises growing up that led to me not having a great experience in hospitals, etc. So I was able to identify, able to advocate for that. But the two things I think that are really will let you know on whether a doctor is quality and very patient-centered is their interdisciplinary approach and how they advocate for patients. So those are the two things I want to give you that has helped me. And I say has helped me. That does not mean it's a one-size-fits-all. So if some of you listening are like, oh, these are questions that I've asked that really helped me, please drop those in the comments. I think this could be a really good episode to add, like, continue adding to the conversation. Like I said, I also uploaded a file on the Facebook page that I uploaded on November 14th, 2024. So you're more than welcome to go and look at that to see. I have it organized. I'm pretty proud of how it's organized, so I think it's very user-friendly. A couple things within this Excel spreadsheet. So if you want kind of an order of operations, go and open it, download it, highlight the ones that are relevant to you. What I realized when I went to my inpatient with Dr. Foley, I had all of these questions already kind of written out prior, that the surgeons actually answered most of the questions without me having to ask them. And so it was nice to just have that list there, because then when they were like, oh, do you have any questions? I was like, as they were answering them, going ahead and checking them off. And I was like, oh, you actually answered a lot of the questions that I brought in today. but I have just like two or three more. And they were like, yeah, let's hear it. So it just gives you, you're organized, you're going in, you don't fear that you're going to like not get something answered. So that's how I would suggest using that Excel spreadsheet. And of course, it's not an exhaustive list. There might be other things on there that you want to ask that's specific to your case. Because as we all know with Nutcracker patients, gosh, my symptoms showed up differently than how any of yours did because of those dang collateral veins. So definitely use that just as a starting point. A second thing I want to bring up about questions to ask doctors, especially like I remember the in-person with Dr. Foley was probably the most important medical appointment I ever had. I'd waited for it for 3 months, just diligently in pain the whole time. And you're also stressed just about the meeting itself. I'm not going to ask all the questions I need. You're right. Like for me, I had my notes section open, just writing diligently. There are AI generated note taking apps out there for those that feel comfortable using these apps that you can download. I personally started using one called Otter.ai in all my doctor's appointments once somebody turned me on to this app. And it was wonderful. It took a lot of the pressure off of me to have to remember what was said. So I was still taking notes. I was using the note-taking app, meaning that I was recording the session. So make sure you ask for consent from the doctor to do so. So I would record the session. Otter AI will actually give you a transcript of the session after, which was really nice. And I still took notes during the session, during the appointment. So it wasn't like you can do whatever you like. I still took notes. But there might have been, like, when I went back to my notes, like, ooh, what was the name of that doctor they suggested? Or what was that exact scan they told me about? I forget the name of it or even how to spell it. So I would go back into the transcript and be like, oh, that's what it said. And so that was just really, really nice. It took the pressure off of me because there was already a lot of stress on that day. I remember I had to take an anti-anxiety pill the night before because I was so stressed out on how the outcome of that in person was going to go. Are they going to accept me? Are they not going to accept me? What am I going to find out? So just so you know, as far as questions go, to have like a note-taking app that's there that can record the session. So yeah, those are a couple things as far as questions go that's kind of rolled up in this intersected conversation about insurance. If there are other things as you all are listening to this episode that are like, ooh, I did this and I didn't mention it, please add that in the comments. My whole purpose for this podcast is for us to, you know, for me to add value to you all, but for this to be kind of an open dialogue where it needs to be. So I hope that this episode has felt helpful to you. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. And with that said, and how I end every one of my episodes, I want to invite you, wherever you are at, to just take a nice deep inhale through your nose and slowly exhale through your mouth, and then another deep inhale through your nose and a slow exhale. And keep with that flow at your own pace for as long as you would like as you transition into either listening to the next episode or just going about your day. But whatever is next for you, I just want you to take a moment to thank yourself for doing the work, for digging in. None of us consented to what we are going through, have gone through, and you're still showing up for yourself, even in small incremental bits. I'm so proud of you. I'm sending you a major, major big hug right now.